Blog Talk Radio.
And with that, I want to say, yes, indeed, there is nobody greater than our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He has granted us the privilege and the opportunity to meet again once more on a Friday evening so that we can have our Friday evening Bible study. And we're just going to have a half an hour program today because we have a new format that we're trying. And maybe within a week or two, we'll get back to the regular one-hour program. But for today, it's just going to be the half-an-hour program, and I'm thankful for all those who are with us. We want to welcome you, and we want to pray that God bless you as you listen to this program today and as the Word of God speak to us. God is going to speak in a very mighty way today. I believe that, and I pray that whatever he says to us, that we will receive it in its fullness. Today, our topic is the promise. We're talking about the promise. One of the most important lessons that we can learn from studying the Bible is that we should walk in faith. Because in the Bible, there are promises, and even though some of them might seem afar off, if we walk by faith and we believe in God, we know that we will receive those promises. So we're going to talk about walking in faith today and what that is all about. I don't know if we're going to get through everything today, but we are going to certainly try, and we're going to try to see what God has in store for us in the next 25 minutes or so. So I want to say welcome, and I want to say praise the Lord for you all. I'm so grateful for everyone that is on the line, and we just hope that the Lord, not hope, but I know that the Lord will pour out his blessing upon us as we fellowship with him and as we study his word today. So before we go into our study, though, I would like us to pray, and I'm going to pray, but just before we pray, I always like to play my prayer song, and I'm going to just play that song as a prelude to our prayer, and then we will go right into our prayer. And from once the prayer is over, then we are going to go right into our Friday evening Bible study, looking at a topic, the promise. Let us hear our song.
I was just a child when I felt the Savior leading. I was drawn to what I could not understand. And for the cause of Christ, I have spent my days believing that what he had me be is who I am. As I've come to see the weaker side of me, I realize this grace is what I'll need. When sin demanded justice for my soul, mercy said no, I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face. Darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no.
Amen. Mercy said no. And we want to thank God for that. Let us pray. Father and our God, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. I thank you that when sin tried to take our hope away, tried to take our life away, Lord, and try to put us in a place where we could never return back to you, Father, mercy stepped forth and mercy said no. So we are so grateful for that, and we pray that your mercy may continue to abide with us. We pray that your forgiveness may continue to be with us, so that by your grace, O Father, when we slip and fall, we do not have to stay down, but we can get up and turn to you and find hope and find grace and find mercy and pardon from all our sins. Father, bless us as we go into this study this afternoon, I pray. For those who are listening right now, and then I pray for those who will join us, O Father, sometime in the future as they come across this program over the internet. O Lord, we thank you for this privilege, and we thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. We're about to begin, and we're looking at the book of Genesis, the very first book in the Bible, Genesis, and the 15th chapter. And again, like I said, we are talking about the topic promise and how God makes promises to us, and then how we should walk when God make those promises to us. Now, I was reading a book called Revolution, and on page 25 of that book, it says that faith must be evident in the life of a person whom Jesus has changed. Amen? So if Jesus has changed your life, your faith must be evident. In other words, it must be seen. It must be there. Christ has made it very clear that the proof people's faith is not in the information they know or in the religious gatherings they attend, but in the way they integrate what they know into their everyday practices. And I say amen to that. Christ has made it very clear, I'm just repeating, that the proof of a person's faith or the proof of people's faith is not in the information that they know or the religious gatherings they attend, but in the way they integrate what they know in their everyday life. Amen? So in other words, faith is something that must be evident as we walk around, as we talk, as we meet people, as we interact with people. They must know that something has happened to our lives. You know, something has happened that makes us different from the ordinary Joe that they might run into or from the ordinary people that they run into. If you are a person of faith, that faith must be evident. There must be a noticeable change within you as you go from day to day and as you walk and you talk. Because as you walk in faith, your life is going to be different. So let's go to Genesis 15 and read about Abraham. At this time, he was still Abram. He wasn't given the name Abraham as yet. He was still Abram. And Genesis 15, just to give you a context for this, is right after Genesis 14. And in Genesis 14, Abram rescued Lot. Lot, where he was living, some kings that was, you know, Eden kings, had raided hometown, and they took Lot prisoner along with his family and some other people, and they carried them away. And when Abram heard about that, he gathered his servants together, he formed an army, and he went after these three kings, and he rescued Lot from them. He rescued Lot and he brought back Lot to his hometown, and not only Lot, but all his possessions, all his family members, everybody. Abram was able to save them by the grace of God. That was in Genesis 14. But when you get to Genesis 15, it opens, it says that after this, that means after Abram had rescued Lot from these kings and brought them back, it says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. The Lord appeared to him in a vision. And the Lord spoke to Abram, and he says, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. So God said to him, hey, don't be afraid. I am your shield, and not only that I'm your shield, but I'm also your very great reward. Maybe Abram was deep in thought after the raid, maybe, you know, after the rescue, after he had rescued Lot, maybe he was thinking about these kings and what they might do if they would decide to regroup and come after him. Maybe he was thinking about how he's going to strategize to protect himself from these guys if they were going to come back to, you know, take revenge on him for what he did in rescuing Lot and his family. So Abram was probably deep in thought, and the Lord saw that, and the Lord came to him in a vision. And the Lord told him, don't be afraid. I am your shield. You know, when I was little, I was the oldest or the eldest of five brothers. I had four other younger brothers than I am. And then sometimes, you know, we were in South America back then, grew up in South America, a little country called Guyana. And sometimes these my little brothers would get into trouble with some of the, you know, neighborhood kids or something like that, or if one of the bully, you know, we might call them the bullies in the neighborhood, might pick on one of them, and then what my little brothers would do is come and get me because I was the big brother. So they would run and come and get their big brother, and then, you know, we would go back and, yeah, and try to have a little talk with these guys and see what's happening. And as long as, you know, I was not too much of a fighter myself, and I never liked the idea of getting into fight myself, but if we had to go and defend ourselves, then we would do it. But one of the things that always worried me when my brothers would come and get me, if we had to go, you know, talk to somebody and get them to stop picking on one of them at least, one of my fear in going out there with them, you know, I always try to find out, I always wonder, I say, what if these guys have a big brother also? Or what if they have bigger brothers that are bigger than I am? You know, so that was one of the things that was always on my mind, you know. So as we go, but you always have to, when you're going into the battle, you always have to count the cost, and you always wonder, what if, at least I did. And so maybe Abraham, as he came back from that battle, he was wondering about that, and, you know, wondering about what if these guys decide to come again? How am I going to protect myself from them? So God came to him, and God said, Abraham, don't worry. Don't be afraid. I am your shield. I'm your protector. And not only am I your protector, but guess what? I'm going to reward you. I'm going to be a great reward. You know, I'm going to reward you as my servant. Excuse me. And that's verse 1. Now look at verse 2 of Genesis 15. It says, but Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remained childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? So the Lord said, I'm going to be your reward, and Abram said, you, my reward, what is it that you're going to give me? That's what Abram said, in other words. He said, are you going to give me more money or more land, or, you know, all those things are fine, but my problem, Lord, is that I remain childless. I don't have a child. My wife is barren. If I should get a reward, that would be my reward. That is what I want, a child, because right now the heir to my possession, the person who's going to inherit all these things that you are rewarding me with, is Eliezer of Damascus. And Eliezer is just one of my servants. I have nobody that is my flesh and blood to inherit what you're giving me. So how or why should you continue giving me things if I don't have that child, Lord? The child is what I need. You see? He said, you have given me no children. So a servant in my house will be my heir. You know, God had called Abram since Genesis 12 to follow him. And so from Genesis 12 to Genesis 15, Abram has been following God, and he's been faithful. He left his land of Ur. And, you know, before God called him, he was childless. And now after all this time being with God, he says, look, I'm still childless. Nothing has changed where that is concerned. And now you're talking about giving me more rewards. What am I going to do with all these rewards? Am I going to, you know, when I pass on, excuse me, I'll have to give all these things to my servants because I have no child of my own. Verse 4, it says, then the word of the Lord came to him, that's to Abram, and said, this man, talking about Eliezer, the Lord said, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. Verse 5. He took him outside, and that is God. He took Abram outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, then God said to Abram, he said, so shall your offspring be. Isn't that something? Abram is there worried because he is getting older as the days go by. He's worried because his wife is getting older. When she was in her prime for bearing child, she could not bring forth a child. She was barren. And now that they're passing that childbearing age, and it doesn't seem as though anything is going to happen, Abram was worried. And so he was saying, Lord, you know, you keep giving me things, but what I really need, you're not giving me, and that is a child. And one of my servants, Eliezer, he's going to be the one that would be inheriting all these things that you're blessing me with. You know, I remain childless all this time. And so God said to him, God said, look, Abram, Eliezer will not be your heir, but one from your own body. Isn't that something? Now, we're talking about faith. Faith has to be evident in everything that you do. As you walk from day to day, your faith must be integrated in your life so that people can see that you're a changed person and so that people can see that you're different. In spite of what the circumstances are saying, right, and in spite of the way things look, faith must be evident in your life as you go from day to day. You know, as I was relaxing yesterday afternoon, finished one job and just prepared to move on to something else, I just took a break. And as I was sitting there, a wino came to the van and was talking with me. Of course, he wanted a few bucks. And according to him, he wanted to go buy something to eat. But we know when you give these guys money, what they do with it. But I still give him, and he was grateful. And I guess he realized that I'm a Christian. And so he started to sing gospel songs, and he started to talk to me about the Bible. And as he spoke, you can smell his breath. You can smell the liquor on his breath. And as he spoke, one of the things he said to me, he says, if you pray, you shouldn't worry. And that's a wino speaking to me. But if you're going to worry, he says, don't pray. But if you pray, you shouldn't worry. But if you're going to worry, don't pray. Those are the words of a wino, man. I'm telling you. That brother was for real. And he was so right. You know, if you're going to trust in God and walk with God, and that's the word for Abram here, don't worry. Things might not look like it's getting better. It might look like things are going south. You know, everything is heading downhill. Because that is all what Abraham was seeing, that they were passing childbearing age, they were getting older, nothing was happening, and that a child would not come from his body. Because his wife was barren, and it was not getting better. The longer God takes to make this happen, is the longer they are going to remain, you know, without having this child. But God said to him, Abram, don't worry, in other words. And verse 5 said, he took him outside. God took him outside, and God said, look at the heavens and count the stars, and if indeed you can count them. And then God said to him, so shall your offspring be. And verse 6 is the verse that I want us to leave with this evening. Verse 6 says, and Abram believed the Lord. Come on. And Abram believed the Lord in spite of his situation, in spite of the fact that both him and Sarah was getting old, because the Lord said it. It says Abram believed it, and that settled it. And guess what? The Bible says, and he and it was credited to him as righteousness. Amen? So Abraham's belief in what God says, or his faith in what God says, became his righteousness. Amen? That is what was credited to him as being righteous. Abraham was not righteous because he rescued Lot from those things. He was not righteous because he left the land of Ur. Well, I guess that shows faith, and followed, not knowing where he was going. Now, that was faith also, I guess. But here it says, you know, he did act. But here it says that Abraham believed God, and that was credited to him for righteousness. When he left the land of Ur, it did not say that that was credited to him for righteousness, even though he left not knowing where he was going, which took faith. You know, Abraham probably learned about doing the things that are right and treating people right and doing things that are good, but that was not counted for him. He probably was a good man. That was not counted for him as righteousness. I was talking to my one of my goddaughters, and she was talking about, how can you believe someone that you don't see? You know, how can you have a relationship with that person? And I simply said to her, it takes faith. Faith is believing even when you can't see. Trusting when there is no evidence. You know, and acting upon that belief in spite of what the circumstances is saying. So Abraham believed God in spite of everything that was happening, in spite of what the circumstances said, and the Bible says that is what was counted to him as righteousness. That was credited to him as righteousness. Isn't that something? So the question is, where is your belief today? As we close, who do you believe in? Do you trust God? Do you trust the promises? He said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that? He says to him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Do you believe that? He says that I will be with you always, even unto the end. And that is what made me stop and think when the wino said to me yesterday, he says, you know, if you pray, don't worry. But if you're going to worry, then don't pray. Because as long as you pray, you must believe that God hears and he answers that prayer. And that in spite of what the circumstances around you are saying, know that he will come true. Make a way where there is no way. Amen? Let us listen to this song as we close. Word of God, speak.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's
over. Father, be with us as we close this program. We thank you for what you did. We thank you for the way you spoke to us today. We pray that there was you find a lodging place in our heart. We may continue to serve in spirit and in truth, so that we can know you for ourselves, and most of all, receive the kingdom when you come. Seal our belief in you, Lord, so like Abraham, we too can be counted as righteous of our belief. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Have a wonderful week. And we'll see you next week right here at this same time. various
continuums.
Another segment of our Friday evening Bible study. God bless.
Beyond the music.
Bye now.
Beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you. And in the quiet, hear your voice. What if God speak? Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and known that you're in this place? Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. What if God speak? Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place? Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's over.